You guys, sorry, I actually left out a couple names. Want to welcome Andy Kang? Welcome, Andy. Sorry about that. Your card was hidden in the back somewhere. This is one of my favorite times of the year. You know, New Year's. You know, we stuffed our faces during Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I've always really enjoyed New Year just for what it represents. Right, it's a new beginning. You know, whatever happened the year before is the past now, right? And you can bring closure to that. And then whatever happens coming up is the future. Right? The future always sounds better than the past, right? Always sounds better than the present, unless you're, you know, very kind of a sad kind of person, right? Very melancholy, then it's a whole different story. But I always enjoy this time for what possibilities can come before us. You know, I shared a little bit last night in our group. You know, in 1 year, there's so many things that can happen. In 1 year, I became a father, right? Probably the most amazing experience of my life. You know, in 1 year's time, I mean, things can happen just like that. And there are so many possibilities open and available to every single one of you. Every single one, right? I mean, we all kind of start at the same level when the year starts. And there's so many wonderful things, well, also so many not-so-wonderful things can happen in our lives in 1 year, right? And so as we start this year, right, we want to start with a bang, right? We want to start with our hearts fully given over to God and say, God, this is your year, and this is why we fast, right? This is why we consecrate ourselves. The word consecration is just a real simple word. All it means is we set ourselves apart. Right, my daughter Elise, her name comes from Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, the literal meaning of that is consecrate to God. In other words, set apart for God. You know, and this is how we enter into the fast in this year. You know, we start off this, and I got to say very clear from the beginning, right, with absolute clarity from the Scriptures, the power that makes the Christian life possible is the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's no other shortcuts, there's no other formulas, you know, there's no, you know, step one, step two, step three. The power that makes us to have and live an effective Christian life is through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen? Right? It doesn't go anywhere else. You know, you can do things out of ritual, you can, manipulate things in your own way, but the power to live an effective Christian life, and hopefully this is what we want to do, right, and we need to get to step one first, right, is through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's not going to come any other way in our lives. You know, that no other power can enable us to live the kind of life that God wants for us and that He requires of us as Christians. It can't be done on your own will. It can't be done on your own strength. Right? I mean, how many of us in our lives have tried to will ourselves to change? You know, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to involve myself in this. Or, you know, I'm going to be different this way. You know, for me, I'll be honest. I've noticed in the last probably about 6 months, I've been getting crabbier. You know, some of you guys probably have noticed, right? I've been getting meaner. You know, I don't know what it is. You know, it'd be playing sports or Monopoly or whatever. Well, I mean, anyway, those things, any kind of, but just in life, I feel like I've been getting meaner and I've been losing my temper. You know, you haven't seen it, but I lose my temper when I'm driving. You know, like some guy cuts me off and, you know, I don't say anything, but I'm just boiling inside. You know, and I recognize that. I probably recognized that about a month ago. It was actually when I was actually having lunch with Stanley, Sean, and Mike. You know, and I was just small talk, you know, and every other word was, wow, that's harsh, man. That's harsh. And I was like, wow, is that really harsh? You know, and I left the meeting thinking, man, I'm a mean guy. You know, I really don't like myself at this point. And since then, I've been trying to will myself to change. I really have. You know, I've been trying to say, you know, every day, Sam, be a nice guy. Be a nice guy. You know, one of the things I wrote last night, if you guys were there, you know, we kind of did this vision thing. My number three on my list was be nice in 2006. You know, and I'm a nice, but I, you know, I feel like I'm getting very short. You know, and I don't like that because you know, especially as my daughter wakes, you know, gets older, I don't want to be short with her. You know, I mean, I want to love her with everything that I have. And so I'm recognizing these patterns. And for the month now, I've been trying to will myself to change. you know, to say, be nice. And sometimes I want to say something, you know, and that voice inside says, don't say it, don't say it, but I say it anyway. You know, and so, and I've come to the conclusion now, you know, that I cannot will transformation, right? I cannot change, you know, things, even some things that are quite simple inside of me. In other words, I need to be changed from within, not by behavior modification, not by things that I do on the outside. I need something to change within me, be transformed from within. You know, and I just come to this conclusion. I recognize I need the Holy Spirit in my life. You know, as much as we try to love people, unless that love resides deeply in you, it'll be very difficult to even love people that love you back. And so much more difficult to love people that are unlovable, what God calls us to. Right? You know, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Incidentally, we actually bought a bunch of Bibles, and they're on the bookshelf there. And so if you don't have a Bible, please take a look at one. Don't take these home. These are not gifts, okay? And things. So thank you for Sujin for lugging these things back from the States. Romans chapter 9. Thanks, Hyge. Yeah. Anyone need a Bible? Just go ahead and we bought the Holy Version, the New American Standard, so you guys can follow along with me now. The NIV, the New Idiotic Version, is no longer accessible. Right? Romans chapter 9, verse 16. So then, Romans 9:16. We can erase this part on the tape, okay? Romans 9:16. So then, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on the God who has mercy. Right? He makes it very clear. Paul says, look, it doesn't depend on the way or on man's abilities or, right, the man's intentions, but on God who has mercy. Our source of strength, our source to accomplish or to transform or do anything comes from God. Right, we are utterly dependent on God, not only for Christian or spiritual matters, but for life. And I hope that we have come to that conclusion, right? So we understand. So it's the power of the Spirit. It's that's what happens here. Okay. So the key to living a successful life is knowing how to release the Holy Spirit in our life. Right now, we know, okay, you have the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, if you have asked Jesus Christ, right, to be your personal Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. The Bible is very clear, you know, on that topic. Now, the question that we should ask more is not that, do you have the Spirit? A better question is, does the Spirit have you? Right? And this is where we come to, and this is what we call discipleship, growing, I mean, all these things. And this is where the Holy Spirit, right, begins to operate in you, and it is released in your life. You know, in such a way that brings transformation, such a way that brings peace, that allows you to love, allows you to accomplish, you know, things that are unfathomable in the world, but not unto the Lord. Right? And it's how to release the Spirit, or the power of the Holy Spirit, right, in our lives, right, so that we can do things that we could not do on our own strength. In other words, right, we want to go beyond ourselves. You know, I mean, don't you want to do that? You know what I mean? I mean, don't you want to go beyond your abilities? You know, and many of you are so capable and able and you excel in these things, but don't you want to go beyond that? You know, don't you want to go beyond what you can do by yourself? You know, don't you want to really enter into something? You know, when I pray, especially as we start the fast, one of my prayers every year in January says, God, when I pray this year, I want to go beyond my prayers. I want to go beyond my ability to pray. I want to go beyond my ability to intercede or the ability to hear your voice, to speak words, God, in the spiritual realm that will affect change. I don't want to do it on my own strength. God, I want to go beyond myself. You know, and I hope this is a prayer that you will pray as we launch into our fast this year. Right? And so one of the most amazing ways that you release the power of the Holy Spirit is through fasting. Right? It's one of these beautiful things that the church has done for generations that we just kind of lost touch with. You know, we had during a time of the church, we had what was known as the Dark Ages. And the Dark Ages, they were very, very dark. You know, thus the Dark Ages, right? But it didn't mean they didn't have light bulbs in it, but it was just dark, meaning that it was really, a lot of ways, it was the death of the church. You know, and what happened is that you know, the church started out very pristine, you know, and God was moving and wonderful things were happening. And people would take these kind of things and turn them into ritual, or they became very religious. And they became you do this and you'll get this. You know, and so they did the action or the form, but there was no substance there. You know, and they went off into error. You know, and this is why, you know, we have people that went way too far. And they saw that how people in the early church, they saw how fasting affected their lives. And so they would fast, and they became very legalistic about it, but they would just go, they'd fast without the substance of why they were doing it. They lost the true meaning of that, you know, and they just kept doing the form, and they kept doing the form. And it became something, and the fasting in the church was associated with a fringe of the church. You know, like those crazy guys, man, right? Those crazy monks, or, you know, and it became to be looked upon very negatively. You know, these were the legalists, you know, these were the people that just way out there. You know, we had a term in seminary, we used to call no earthly good, right? You know, they're so far in the spiritual realm that they're no good here on earth. You know, and so that became, you know, the form. And so for generations, the church has lost the art of the gift of the ability to fast. But now it's coming back. Right, it's especially in, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you know, the Spirit of God started moving all over. I remember the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright, and Bill Bright was praying, you know, and he's actually a real incredible spiritual figure in the church whole. You know, he's the guy that came with the four spiritual laws. You know, there's actually a number of programs that he has come up with that we use almost, you know, on a weekly basis. Some of us. You know, and Bill Bright, he was praying for revival in the United States. You know, and God clearly spoke to this guy. I mean, this guy was like 70 years old at the time, right? And you know, maybe about 60, late 60. And the guy spoke to him and says, I want you to go on a 40-day fast. You know, and can you imagine sitting in that prayer room and you say, what? You want me to do what? You know, and so he was searched high and low to find as many people as he could. You know, he wrote in his book, he said he could not find one person in the United States that had done a 40-day fast. So you know where he went? Where do you think he went? Korea, baby. You know? That's one thing we could be proud of, right? As Koreans, you know? And things, and so he went to Korea and he found tons of people that had fasted and he learned and, you know, and things, and he started this fast. And I mean, if you've ever seen Bill Bright, he's a very big man, right? Kind of obese, you know, you could say, and things. And, you know, and so you think, wow, this guy, you know, you could probably fast for years, you know, kind of thing. But that was a bad joke. But at the same time, though, he was very careful because it was so new. Right, you know, and out of that, and he started fasting, and then it became really cool in the evangelical circles. You know what I mean? Before it was just like, it's only those really crazy people that live in the prayer mountain fast. You know what I mean? These guys, you know, like John the Baptist, you know, you never see them, and, you know, they're always talking with God all the time, and, you know, like the mystics, they fast. And here was Bill Bright, a non-charismatic, you know, just kind of a little bit acquainted with the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, and he goes on a 40-day fast, and it became very cool, you know, like very hip in the evangelical world, and tons of people started fasting. Right? They started seeking God, you know, for spiritual breakthrough in their lives. You know, and then books started coming out left and right, and you know, and even old books that they hadn't seen in ages came back into print. And now if you go to a bookstore, you'll see a whole section on fasting. You know, and not to say it's become cool again, but the church has recognized the power of the fast to release spiritual breakthrough in the life of the believer, right? To release the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life to effect change. We start recognizing after a while, especially as you go to church for a while and do these things, you start recognizing that, man, I've hit a ceiling. You know what I mean? It's like, I've come only so far, and it's just there. It's this glass ceiling. I don't know what it is, but my prayers, I pray and I do these things, but there's just not a breakthrough. There's something that's over me. The fast breaks the ceiling. Right? I don't know any other power. It's been said that the fast, right, is like a spiritual nuclear bomb. It's so powerful in the life of the believer. It just blows up anything that gets in the way in our life, in our pursuit of God. Right? That's what we're talking about here. That's what we want to do. It's a spiritual dynamite to release the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right? To release the very things that gives us the ability to live an effective life here on this planet for God. Right? When we first introduced this, I've been in Hong Kong for 3 years. Amazing. And so this is our fourth year. This is our fourth time we're going to go on this fast. And I remember in the beginning, how many people did we have? We had like, 15 people, way back when our first time when we fasted. And I told our whole church, right, our whole 15 people, I said, guess what? January 2, you guys can eat your food. January 1, for the family. January 2, we're going on a 21-day fast. And you could hear the gasp, right, in the church, And people just kind of looked, they thought I was joking. You're not serious, man. We barely know you. You've been in church for a month. Who do you think you are, right? And stuff. And says, no, we're going on a fast. And talking to some people, it's kind of like this kind of idea that, wow, you really want to make us miserable, don't you? You got something against food or something, there's all these things. But and I say this, I don't want to make you miserable, right? I that's not my goal. But my goal in your life, very simply, my goal for your life is I want you to be successful. You know what I mean? I want you to excel in every sector of your life, in every part of your life. I want you to fall in love with Jesus so much so that it affects every relationship that you have. I want you, in 2006, I already mentioned, but 2006 is a year of relationships. All right, this is our focus for 2006. I don't mean dating relationships, okay? So we're not going to turn into a dating club, .com overnight, all right? We're not going to open up a website and get you hooked up. It's not a dating service. That's not what I'm talking about, relationships in terms of personal relationships. Topics like, what do I do when I have conflict with someone? How do I resolve, different issues? Is it okay to judge? How do I confront, people that hurt me? It's just dealing with relationships, And of course, there's an element of the personal relationships, like how can I get married? And these things. And we have some speakers coming in this year. And it's going to be a really good time for us as a church to really launch into this. But in the year of relationships, my plan for you, I pray that you guys all get married in 2006. I pray that you would excel. I pray that broken relationships that you have in your families or amongst your peers, your colleagues, would be healed in 2006. Right? I want you to be successful. I want you to excel. I want you to make tons of money. And give to the church and give to the causes in this world, to the poor. We want you to excel. And one of those ways that I just know that I know that I know that that happens is through the fast. Not that it's some kind of special thing that we do. It's not like it's some kind of secret. But it is something ordained by God that He blesses, that He encourages the church to do. Right? Jesus gives them the whole spiel on fasting. We'll go through that next week. And then He says, when you fast, do it this way. Notice He used the word when. He didn't say if. If you choose. This is not when you fast. In other words, in Jesus' economy, it was understood, right, that we would be fasting. That it would be a regular part of our life. Right, it was definitely a regular part of the life of the church, especially the early church. Right? Jesus made this really clear to His disciples after the resurrection. Before He ever released them to go into ministry, He tells them in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Right? It's a spiritual dynamite. And this is what we want. This is a question that I'm going to ask you. Right? And this is, I mean, it's very, very clear. Are you willing? Right? Listen very carefully. Are you willing to give up the legitimate pleasures of this world, right, for the extraordinary pleasures of knowing God? Are you willing? Because, it's a question set before you. Are you willing to give up legitimate pleasures? And they are legitimate. Eating is a legitimate pleasure. You know, watching television is a legitimate pleasure. You know, or whatever that we're fasting, you know, sports or exercise or whatever. Maybe these are all legitimate pleasures. We have a right to these things. But during this season, are you willing to give up legitimate pleasures for the incredible pleasures of knowing God, of being transformed? You know, it's this thing. You know, I say this because this is not bragging or anything, but I spent a considerable time of my Christian experience fasting. You know, amongst my peers, you know, I helped a lot of guys fast. Basically, I teach on fasting, you know, quite a bit. You know, and the first time that God ever called me to fast or is when I first started preaching. And, you know, I was invited to church. I wasn't a pastor then. And I just actually was just in Hong Kong. I came home and, you know, I messed up my knee. And I was trying to figure out a way to get back to Hong Kong. And I just started getting these invitations to come because I was a really bad guy before I got saved. And now I became a good guy, you know, and, you know, became a Christian. And people didn't believe it. So they asked me to come to church, you know, to show them and give my testimony. And so what happened is I go, and I remember the first time I went and I spoke at a church, it was horrible. I mean, I had migraine headache, you know, before I went up there, and I went up there and I forgot all my verses. You know, I just had nothing, you know, and luckily, you know, it was just a really small church and things. And so after that, I said, God, you got to do something, man. You know, this is just horrible. You know, and God says, why don't you fast? You know, and so I did. I just spent 3 days and I just fasted. I just real simple, you know, I said, okay, God, I'm going to dedicate the time that I would eat, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to fill me up, and I'm going to ask the power of the Holy Spirit to be released in my life. So the next time I got an invitation to speak, you know, I went to a church, you know, and it wasn't a message, it was just, you know, it was just okay, you know what I mean? I just, you know, found a couple verses, and I just told them verses, and I told a couple stories, you know, but, you know, the most amazing thing happened. And I was, you know, sitting there, and you know, we finished, and I said, I'm just going to pray. And I just sat there and I just prayed, just a real simple prayer. I basically just said something like, you know, Holy Spirit, why don't you just come? You know, Jesus, just come and be with us. And you know, the amazing thing is, he showed up. You know, there's probably about 80 people in the room, you know, and I just prayed that prayer. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, right, the Spirit of Jesus comes into the room. And next thing I know, man, you know, I'm just saying that, I mean, I'm so new to this thing. People are crying everywhere. You know what I mean? Even the pastor's wife. You know, I mean, that's pretty hardcore, right? You know, and stuff, and because, you know, for me, pastors' wives are really spiritual, usually more spiritual than the pastors are, right? And stuff, and she was bawling, you know, and she actually was convicted. She came up to me, and she says, you know, while you were speaking, I don't know what it was, you know, but I just, you know, decided to give up. And she actually had a habit, because she was bored, she was watching Korean programs. You know, like those 800 set video cassettes, you know, of one program, you know, like the, you know, what's that one that they showed here in Hong Kong, the really, Daejeongun, what's the other name for that? What's the Chinese name? What? Daejeokum, right? Right, you guys, right, you know, so, sorry, I don't speak Cantonese, obviously, right? But, you know, the big set, and she would just watch those all the time. And while I was speaking, God was speaking to her and basically saying, can you lay that down? You know, and so she just started repenting, you know, for being so distracted with her time, for wasting herself on all these Korean soap operas, you know, instead of, you know, really spending time with God. And stuff like that happened, and all these guys, you know, people started coming up to me and you know, and sharing that they've been sexually immoral, you know, and stuff. And I'm like, you know, I don't know you. I don't really, you know, it's like, go talk to God or go talk to your pastor, man, you know, don't talk to me. You know, I really don't care, to be honest, you know, and stuff. And so, I mean, just these amazing things happen. And I went, oh, fasting, because it didn't come from me. You know what I mean? I mean, I just put a couple verses together. That was it. But when I fasted, something was released. And I would spend, you know, for a large chunk in those early years of ministry, every time I would preach, I'd spend at least a few days fasting. And I'm just really asking God, you know, for a blessing. And God would show up every single time. It was the most amazing thing. And you know the even more amazing thing? I wasn't even hungry. You know what I mean? I wasn't hungry. I mean, I had a job. I was working at a bank at the time. And I was doing these things, but I didn't want to eat. You know, I was so absorbed with God, to be honest, that food became such a, you know, like I just looked upon it with disdain. You know, food, you're my enemy. You know, but I mean, I love food. You know what I mean? And so it's not like, you know, I'm one of those people that just hate food. It became kind of my enemy because I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, because I mean, you know, I remember I was at work one day and I was feeling, at this point, I was feeling a little hungry, right? This is in another fast, you know, and my colleague, you know, gave me an orange, you know, and says, oh, why don't you have this? And I was, you know, Orange County orange, right? You know, from Southern Cal. Delicious, man, right? Not the stuff we get from China, right? I mean, the good stuff. And, you know, I had this orange, and I was thinking about, okay, you know, I fasted long enough, you know? Why don't I just break this fast and get a little, you know, God surely would want me to be energized. You know, I need to do ministry this weekend and, you know, take care of business. And surely, you know, I need some vitamin C at least, you know? And then I'm rationalizing all these things, and I'm looking at the orange, right? I mean, it's in my hand, and then I'm thinking about my commitment to God. And the orange, my commitment to God. Orange, commitment to God. I started hating that orange. You know what I mean? You know? And stuff. And God does that in our life. I mean, you'd be so surprised. All right? So are we willing to give up the legitimate pleasure of this world for the extreme pleasures of knowing God? You know, I'll talk about this next week, but I feel like I need to express a little bit. Fasting is good for you. Okay? It's good for you. You don't realize how much junk that you have in your body right now. You know, it is a very cleansing thing, right, in your lives. You know, even people that are not Christians, you know, I mean, they recommend people to go on fast all the time because it literally cleans out your system. You know, and this is, you know, and so, I mean, think about this. Would God, who created our bodies, would God ask us to do things, the creator of our bodies, that would be harmful to our bodies? I mean, think about that, you know? I mean, you know, I know some of you, you're going to have to go home and tell your parents, you know, guess what, Pastor Sam said I need to fast for 21 days, you know? I'm sure some of your parents are going to get really upset with you. You know, I mean, that even happened even with my parents, you know? My parents are missionaries and stuff, and they didn't get upset, but they were very concerned. Are you crazy? You know, you need, you know, because, you know, they're thinking as a parent, you know, you need nutrients, you know, all this. And I tell them, I just need God. That's all I need. You know, and God will sustain me. You know, and so, you know, during the course, you know, they came around and things. I'm sure many of you will be very misunderstood. You know, you'll go to your, you know, your lunches, you know, with your clients or, you know, amongst your, you know, with your colleagues. And trust me, during the fast, you'll be invited to so many meals you wouldn't believe. I mean, you just won't believe. You know, like, what? Buffet? Really? You know? I mean, it's just the craziest thing. You know, because the enemy's working, he's going to invite you to so many dinners, so many lunches, free as well. You know? And so you got to really make a choice, you know? Mandarin buffet, my commitment to God. Mandarin buffet, commitment to God. You know, not that they're one or the other, but in our own lives, you know, that very well may be the way it works out. And things, and so, you know, the things that God has for us or whatnot, they're to really bring benefits into our lives. So I'm just going to talk about some of these benefits, okay? Number one, fasting. Brings humility. Fasting brings humility. Throughout the Bible, or through the scriptures, God has required the church, or required his people, to humble themselves to the Lord. Turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18:4. Matthew 18:4 says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Turn to Matthew 23:12 says this, For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now here's a great one, James 4:10. James is towards the end of the book. James 4:10 says this, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Notice in all of these scriptures, and there's many more, but I just picked a couple here, the responsibility to humble ourselves is placed upon us, right? We cannot transfer that responsibility to God. In other words, to pray, God, make me humble, is actually unscriptural. Because the reply of God always is, humble yourself. Right? You know, you see this all. You know, I mean, I said this before. Incidentally, let me give you a little tip, right? You don't want to ask God to bring or to humble you. You know what I mean, right? Trust me. You know, better for you to humble yourself. I mean, you ask God, God, please give me humility. You know what one of the roots of humility is? Humiliation, right? And so you don't necessarily want to, right? So better for us to humble ourselves. And this has always been, you know, what God has asked us to do, right? You know, David expressed this in Psalm 35, right? Psalm 35, 13. Says, I humbled my soul with fasting, right? And so it's the burden is placed upon the individual to humble themselves. And David says, I humble myself with fasting, right? Turn to Ezra chapter 8. Ezra is right in the middle. It's after Chronicles. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 through 23 says this. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy in the way, because we had said to the king, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek Him. But His power and His anger are against all those who forsake Him. So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and He listened to our entreaty. All right, here's Ezra. Ezra is faced with a situation here. You know, there's an enemy army about to get him. He's in this kind of very important decision. He can go ask for help, or he can seek the Lord and humble himself by fasting. In other words, he can choose to do the natural means, you know, or go about the way that he can do himself, or he can choose the spiritual option and go to God. Now, amongst the alternatives, Ezra chose to go to the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast, and everyone humbled themselves before God, and God brought a great reward to Ezra and the people. Right? There'll be many times you'll be faced with this, right? You'll be faced with alternatives. You know, like I said, you'll get free lunches and all these things. You'll be faced with alternatives. You can do what you can do on your own, or you can take the spiritual route and do what only God can do, and fast and seek the Lord. Trust me, you'll be tempted so much in these next 20 days. You know, the enemy is going to be working overtime to try to rob you and kill you and destroy, right? The very gift that God wants to place on your lap, you know, for this next year. You know, and amongst alternative, choose God. Right? Choose the alternative that is impossible to do, you know, in your own strength, but is possible to do in God. You know, one of the greatest aspects for me personally, you know, in the days that I fasted, you know, that I've gone on fast, my mental ability or my mental clarity is so sharp. You know, and a lot of people talk about, yeah, your taste buds get sharper, and yeah, forget that stuff, man. You know, like all the food tastes so much better later. That's nothing. Your mental capacity gets so quickened in God. Whereas a lot of times the things that you thought impossible become so possible when you fast. And if some of you are sitting here right now listening to this message and thinking, you one crazy sucker, man. 21 days? Are you crazy? You're not going to eat food for 21 days? I can't live with a couple hours without eating food. You know, and it's a mental block. It is. It's a mental block. And you overcome that, possibilities are opened up like you wouldn't believe. You know, when I was a pastor, I had a lot of leaders under me. You know, and a lot of these guys became pastors themselves. You know, and I made all these guys go on 40-day fasts. You know, and I told them straight up, it says, if you want to be a pastor, if you want to be, you know, someone who's a leader, you need to go on a 40-day fast. You know, and not when you're 50 or 80, like right now. You know, and so I would really challenge these guys, you know. And at first, you know, they were quite angry with me, you know, because, you know, it's like, well, you're going to make me do this. And so obviously you got to hear from the Lord for this. You know, but eventually, every single one of those guys did it, and man, breakthroughs in their life, like you wouldn't believe. I mean, you just would not believe. They're doing things that only God can do, right? And this is what God is called us to, right? Jehoshaphat, right, he calls Judah to fasting and prayer. You know, you don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, 2 Chronicles 20, 2-4. Let's turn there. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. It's just before Ezra. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2. Let's read this. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazon, Tamar, that is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And then look how he closes in verse 12. Right, it's one of my favorite verses. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. Notice what comes from this fast. They come, number one, to two phrases, right? He says, we are powerless, we don't know what to do. And what does Judah do? They fast. Now, are there situations in your life? Are there circumstances that you're going through, even right now, or that you may be facing, where you feel powerless and you have no idea what to do? Invariably, there will probably be many of you sitting in this room today that you are powerless to overcome something, you're powerless to forgive someone, you're powerless to accomplish this or that, or you're in a situation you have no idea what to do. You don't know what job to take or what avenue to go forth or what person to date or on and on. And you may be in this situation like Jehoshaphat and his people were. What did they do? They fasted. They fasted. They said, God, we're powerless. God, I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. And they called a fast. And if you read the end of that text, God moved in power. Right? God delivered these guys. I mean, God did stuff that they couldn't do on their own. And he blessed them. You know what I mean? He found remedy where there was no remedy. He found a solution where there was no solution. And he came in the midst of on their behalf. And he rescued them. And gave them victory. No bloodshed whatsoever. I mean, you read the text, right? I mean, straight out of the Bible. It's amazing, right? In the Jewish tradition, you guys, some of you heard of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is what's known as the Day of Atonement, right? And this is the one day where the priest gets to go into the Holy of Holies. You know, and he specifically, you know, highlights this day for that. You know, and if you want to read later, I'm not going to turn to it, but it's Leviticus chapter 16. Sorry, I've got like four canker sores in my mouth, and so it's kind of, I'm slurring a lot of my words, so you'll have to forgive me. All right, I hit Kenny's hard head playing basketball last week and stuff. So, but it's Leviticus chapter 16, right, 29-31, right? For 3,500 years, Jews have observed the Day of Atonement, and it's always been a day of fasting. Always been a day of fasting. The Day of Atonement, right, is the most sacred day in the whole Jewish calendar, right? Fasting was man's response to God's provision and cleansing. God provided the ceremony, right, by which the high priest went into the innermost sanctuary of the temple and made atonement, right? In other words, right, God did his part, but man had to do their part, right? The atonement in the Yom Kippur, the atonement was only effective for those who accepted it through fasting. God provided the sacrifice, right? Jesus, the atonement, right? He did all these things, but it was man's part, right? In other words, man joining with God that brought the relief, right? Or brought the benefits of that day of atonement to the people. God did his part. He expects man to do our part, right? God has got a plan in store for us. God wants to do wonderful things. God wants to explode and bring breakthrough in our lives, right? It's already there for us, right? He has done his part. We need to do our part and come before God. I'm telling you, 2006 is going to be a real incredible year for our church. You know, I've probably not been so excited as we enter a year as I have this year. You know, one of those aspects is because that we, you know, for the first time, we actually, through, the Korean church and our church, you know, we're actually taking care of our own finances this year. You know, and we allotted, you know, this year, I share with some of you, we allotted about 45% of our giving, right, is going to go overseas to missions. You know, and so, and that's a lot of my heart. And so I'm just really excited, and we get to be a part of this, and we're praying and planning to set up an orphanage in Cambodia and possibly, you know, a hospital in North Korea. You know, and I mean, just there's so many things there. It's just, and that's why, you know, I start the year, I'm talking about, it's possibilities, man. Right? I mean, they're before us right now. And I'm just so pumped. And so God is doing his part, right? He's given the vision. He's brought the connections together and, you know, and he provide the finances. And now it's our part to come and join him in his work. Right, it's our part to tithe the beginning of this year, right, and say, God, we just give ourselves to you, right, in fasting and prayer, right. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing. That's what Yom Kippur was all about, right? God does his part, and he expects a response from us, right? Fasting, right, brings about humility. It just goes hand in hand together, right? If you look at this, these guys say, well, we fasted, you know, and humility just happens. You know, it's one of those amazing things, right? You cannot will yourself to be humble. Have you tried to do that? Sure, on the outside, you could, you know, someone could, you know, say something or do something, you know, and you think, oh, yeah, it's good, man. Praise God, you know, these kind of things. But inside, you know what's going on. Yeah, you know. Yeah, that guy said something good about me. Yeah, you know, all these kind of things. You cannot will yourself to be humble. It takes a work of God. Because you're joining along the character of God, right? To walk in humility. So humility. Number two, what does fasting release in the life of the believer? Releases power. Releases power. Remember, Jehoshaphat says, Lord, we are powerless. But it releases power. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, this is the temptation of Jesus, right? A very, very famous passage. And look at verse 1 and 2. It says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. Right? So Jesus starts off, he is full of the Holy Spirit. Right, I mean, the Holy Spirit, I mean, it's all, he is just, I mean, tilt, right, of the Holy Spirit, filled up. And he goes on a fast. 40 days, he doesn't eat anything, right? He's fasting. He ends that time. Now look, you know, the rest of the passage, he's in the temptation, all these things happen. Now look at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through all the surrounding district. No. Do you see what happened? Look at this. Very slight, right? You can miss it like that. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, just all over this guy. He fasts. right? He spends 40 days, right? And he's contending. He's seeking the Lord in that. He fasts. And now when it's over, his ministry begins. And notice the words that Matthew will hear, or was it Luke? That Luke uses. Now Jesus, in the power of the Spirit. He went from fullness of just being, you know, in other words, having the Holy Spirit occupy him, and now he moved into the power of the Spirit. Fasting releases God's power in our lives. Fasting releases God's power in our lives. All right, there may be things that's in your life that you have difficulty with, or you know that you feel powerless against. Fasting breaks the yoke. Right? It releases God's power. And it releases, you know, it's just amazing things, right? I mean, it's one thing to be full of the Spirit. It's a whole other thing to walk in the power of the Spirit. Right? From the time of his baptism onwards, the Spirit was there. But it was the fast that released the power of the Spirit. Remember when he was baptized, the dove came upon him, right? You know, and so he was full of the Spirit, right? The Spirit, in other words, was occupied him. But he hadn't walked in the power yet until the fast. Right? I mean, it's just amazing stuff, right? So it releases power. Number three. Fasting gives us the supernatural ability to be heard. Right? Or for God to hear us, right? To be heard. Fasting is designed to make prayer mount up on eagle's wings. It is intended to bring, to usher the prayers, right? The prayer into the audience of the king. To drive back the opposing powers of darkness and loosen their hold on their prayer objective. It is calculated to give an edge to a man's intercessions and power to his petitions, right? And Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 58. We're rounding out here. Isaiah 58 is actually a great passage on really how not to fast. I'm just going to read part here of Isaiah 58, verse 4. And it says, "You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high." Right? Wrong motives will not make us heard on high, but that is what the fast is intended to do. Turn to a couple of verses, go to verse 9, 58:9. He says, "Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" Fasting releases the supernatural ability for our prayers to enter into the throne of God. All right, Joel expressed this, right, in Joel 2:12. He says, "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, With fasting. Here's a quote by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray says this: "Fasting helps to express, to deepen, and to confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, to sacrifice ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God." Now, let me tell you what fasting is not. Fasting is not a hunger strike. You know what I mean? You know, fasting, you know, is not twisting God's arm. "God, you know, you got to do this for me, so I'm not gonna eat food for a while. You better. That's not what fasting is, right? Fasting is conforming ourselves. It's coming before the Lord in desperation. It says, "God, you know, I'm so desperate for. I just need you." You know, it's not to get something out of Him, you know, per se, right? But it's to draw an intimacy with Him, and out of that, everything you need will flow. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else that you need, as my own paraphrase, right, will be given to you as well. Right? Those things, in other words, Jesus says, those things that seek you, right, that you seek will begin to seek you out. Right? But you seek first God. Right? That's what fasting is. It's not some kind of hunger strike. Right? So, Pastor Sam, I'm convinced. I need to fast, man. I need to fast a lot. You know, my life is jacked up, man, right? I mean, I'm screwed like you wouldn't believe. I need to fast. Amen? Amen? All right, okay, all right. So I convinced you on that part so far. Maybe not, but... So how do I do this thing, right? Okay, Tuesday, we start 7 o'clock in the morning. How do I do this? Number one, come to morning prayer. You'd be surprised how much strength God will give you during that time. right? During this time, fasting is very simply this, right? It's to replace the normal functions of mealtime or activities and replace them with spending time with God, okay? I say this all the time. Fasting without prayer is dieting, okay? That's all that is, man, right? Just do the Jenny Craig thing or Weight Watchers. That's the same thing, right? Fasting without prayer is dieting. But fasting, you know, like let's say breakfast, lunch, dinner, right? And I need to say this, right? I know you guys are mature and all, but if you don't eat breakfast, right, and you're saying, I'm going to fast breakfast, that's not fasting. You know what I mean? Now, some guys are calculating, well, I don't eat lunch on Thursday, so I'm going to fast lunch on Thursdays, right? That's not fasting, right? Fasting is giving up a legitimate pleasure, putting that to the side, right, and spending time with God. If you're fasting media, you know, some of you guys will, you know, that in other words, you're not going to watch television or something. The time that you would watch television, you spend time with God. You know, maybe you're the kind of person, you watch television in the evening for a few hours. You spend time with God during that time. As you're fasting a meal, right, your lunchtime, you spend time with God during that time, right? Whatever activity or mealtime that you are consecrating or passing over to the Lord, you spend that time spending time with God. Now, spending time with God can be worshiping. It could be, reading the Bible. It could be reading some kind of Christian book that you've been reading these days. You know, it could be singing to the Lord. It could be listening to your iPod, you know, worship songs. You know, it could be, some of you, you know, let me really knock your socks off. It could be sleeping. You know, I mean, it really could. I mean, God just may want to give you rest. You know, now, if every mealtime, right, don't abuse, right, you know, those kind of things, but you know, I mean, there's so many different ways that you go about this thing. You know, it could be serving, helping people out, or you know, whatever. This is a fast, right? It's replacing the normal functions of mealtime or activities, and replacing them with spending time with God, right? As you skip a meal, you go to God in prayer, right? As you skip an activity that you would normally do, you go to God in prayer. That's how we fast, right? Now, there's many different fasts, right? You can go, and this is what I've always done. I've gone on a liquid fast, right? In other words, I only take in liquids, you know, juice, water, milk, you know, these kind of things. You know, I don't eat any solid foods. You know, some of you guys may choose to go on what we call a Daniel fast, and Daniel's fast is he just ate vegetables, you know, and bread, right? That's all he did, you know, during that time, you know, and water. You know, some of you guys could go on a meat fast, you know, and this is, I mean, if you're a vegetarian, right, you're not really fasting meat, you know what I mean, and stuff. So, you know, a meat fast, you know, I'm not going to eat meat for these 21 days, you know, and so you're very choosy, you know, about what you do, but it's basically taking something that you enjoy, you know what I mean, something that you really like, and you're saying, God, I really like this, but I love you more. And so for this season of my life, I'm going to lay that down, and I'm going to seek you for it. I'm going to sacrifice. Right? All through the scriptures, right? It was a sacrifice, and then the glory came. Right? I mean, it's just a biblical pattern. And so I'm going to sacrifice. Well, whatever it is, God, I'm just going to lay that thing down. I'm just going to seek you for it. Some of you guys may be going on media fast. You know, it means you're not going to listen to the radio or watch television or DVDs or whatever. And during that time, you're going to seek the Lord. I mean, there's so many things, you know. I encourage everyone to go on an alcohol fast, at least, right? 21 days, and in fact, do a lifetime alcohol fast, right? It's good for you. You know, if you, you know, take drugs, you know, go on a drug fast for life, you know. And you know what I mean? Just whatever these things are so important to you, just lay these things down, you know. I know last year, I know some of the people went on a Cyworld fast, you know, or, you know, Zanga fast, you know, they're just on Zanga 24 hours a day, you know, so they just left that to the side. Something that was meaningful to them, and just lay that down, right? You know, and you can get very creative in this, right? We're not legalistic, you know, you can get very creative. You know, like my wife, she's, you know, obviously she can't fast this year. She's kind of bummed out about that, you know, because we always enjoy doing it together. you know, and so she's going to go on a media fast, which means I'm going to go on a media fast, right? Praise God, hallelujah, even though it is NBA season, you know, but, and stuff, so, you know, so we have to, you know, kind of figure that out, and so, you know, there's, you know, many different things that we can do, so pray to God and ask Him. You know, for some of you, you know, it could be that you get your worth from your work so much, you know, and you tackle so many projects that you really don't need to because you get your worth from that. It could be that you say no in your workplace to your bosses. That could be a form of a fast as well. You know, just really seek the Lord in this thing and really ask God, Lord, what legitimate pleasure, I mean, do I really receive pleasure from? Could I really give up during this season to seek your face, right, to really see things accomplished here at Solomon's Porch? And you lay that down. For some of us, you know, heaven forbid, it could be sports. You know, that you may lay down sports for a season, you know, playing basketball or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, a legitimate pleasure. And God, I want to sacrifice this. And I just want to give this to you during this time. To really seek your face for a real spiritual breakthrough in my life. To see the power of the Holy Spirit to be released. And what you do is you during that time, you meditate upon Him. You join Him in His suffering, right? I give you a couple notes. Don't be legalistic about it, okay? Don't be legalistic about it. You know, remember, it's more than the activity that God is after. He's looking at the heart, right? He's looking at the heart. You know, if you are out, and this sometimes happens, you know, you fasted and stuff, and then, you know, you're walking by work, and, you know, there happened to be a cracker there, you know, and you put the cracker in your mouth, and you're like, oh, no, I was fat, you know, I mean, sometimes that happens, you just don't think, don't kill yourself, you know, and say, oh, I got to start day one all over again, you know, just, okay, God, you know what I mean, sorry, you know, I let that slip, and just, you know what I mean, we're not, don't be legalistic about these things, you know, I mean, operate in freedom, right, it's for freedom that Christ set us free, but be serious at the same time, you know, we fast not to lose weight, you will lose weight, I guarantee. For some of you, that's, you know, kind of, you know, motivation enough for you to fast, right? It's not for us to look better physically. You will look better physically. Your skin will be so clean. It's unbelievable, right? Because, you know, all that junk that you put in your bodies. You know, I mean, these things happen. And these are kind of like extra benefits that come. But that's not why we do it, right? We fast to seek His face, right? We fast to honor God during this time. Right? Remember, Jesus' first words in relation to fasting, right, were not necessarily how to do it, but it was in relation to motives. Right? He always touched, and I'll talk about that next week a little bit. Right? Now, the danger of legalism in this is that we place confidence in an activity instead of on the person. Right? That's the danger of legalism. We can place our confidence on the activity instead of the person. As soon as you do that, you lose all the benefits, right, of that sacrifice. Remember David's words as he closed off 2 Samuel. He says this, and he says, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. Right? Remember he's there and he's taking the Ark of the Covenant and the threshing floor is there, and, you know, and they need to offer sacrifice, and Arunah basically says, here, you know, you can have this for free. You're the king, right? You can take this. You know, you don't have to give me any money. And David very clearly says, I will never offer to God anything that costs me nothing. And he refused the free gift from Arunah, right? And he paid his own money, right? In other words, he wanted to feel that sacrifice himself to offer God something. You can make that stand with God at the beginning of this year. God, I will never offer you anything that costs me nothing. For some of you, that food is going to cost you something. Trust me, you're going to get hungry, right? Actually, next week, I'll go through all the phases of the fast. It's amazing, but you'd be so amazed at what your body is capable of doing. You know that? I mean, you'll be hungry for a few days. Trust me, it subsides. After about 3 days, it's a mental battle now. And you overcome this battle, sharpness comes like you would not believe. I mean, you just will not believe during this season. Right? And so let's offer to God something that costs us something. Right? Let's give up the legitimate pleasure of this world for the extreme pleasures of knowing God. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Man, new possibilities. all there for you. Why don't we spend this time now before we take communion? I encourage you to ask the Lord, God, what legitimate pleasure are you asking of me this year? Maybe last year you fasted meat. Let's step it up another level. I know some of you guys fasted dinners last year. Let's step it up another level. Let's continue to grow in this before God. Just go before the Lord. Jesus, how can I honor you at the beginning of this year? My church is fasting. Or how can I join in? To see your kingdom come in my life and in my community. As the worship team to come up and just encourage you to pray. Just seek God. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Jesus. Many of us, God, dealing with really serious things in our lives, God. Or many of us need a breakthrough, either for ourselves, God, our family, our friends. And we need to release the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we thank you for this season of fasting, God. This season of coming together to lay down, Lord, the legitimate pleasures of this world for the extreme pleasures of knowing God. So would you come, God, and speak to us? Would you draw us into that place of perfect peace? Would you give us the strength to do something that only you can do? Would you help us to obey? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We read from 1 Corinthians. We're having a time of communion. Stanley and someone can come up. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. I encourage you to go before the Lord. And if you need to take care of business with God, just take care of business. This communion time is only for people that have trusted Jesus to be their personal Savior. And so if you've not come to that decision yet, please pass. But for us that call Jesus our Lord and Savior, I just want to encourage you during this time to go before Him and take care of any issues that you may have, any sins, and examine yourself before Him, before the cross of Christ. The team will be leading us in a bit of worship. You can join along. But I encourage you to pray. We're going to take communion together. So once you get the elements, just please hold on to them.
You until the very end.
See the elements? Anyone here that has not yet? Let's pray together. Lord, in this new year, God, we are so happy to look forward, God, but we also look back, and we thank you, God, for your sacrifice for us. We thank you for the cross and what it represents. God, you've given us life. And we come to humble ourselves today, God, and to join with you in your suffering. To receive from you, God, your body, God, and the life of your blood. We bless you, God. Forgive us, Lord. God, for ways that we have not honored you, God. Lord, and draw us to you this year. God, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Let's take it together. This is Christ's body broken for you. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you. Rise. Next 21 days, that God would give them the strength. And let's cover each other right now. God, we just bless them.
My closest friend, I will
Lord, we thank you for your challenge, God. Lord, we thank you for your word, God. Set it deep in our hearts, Lord. We pray, God, that it wasn't just a time to motivate, God, but it was a time for us to really gather together as a body of Christ, as a church family. Lord, to really seek your purposes, God. Lord, that the very things you want to do, the very things you want to desire, Lord, in our lives, God, in the life of your church. And so we ask for your strength, God. We ask for your help, God. We ask for courage, Lord. God, and steadfastness, Lord, in these next 21 days or 23 days altogether. Lord, that you'd really meet with us, God. And we thank you for the opportunity, God, that you give us to set ourselves apart, God. Lord, to seek your face, Lord. It would be difficult for us to do it on our own, God. But you called the church to come together, to encourage each other, God, to fight the good fight of faith. So we bless you, Father. We thank you. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. We pray that you would bring them back to Hong Kong safely, God, this next week. Lord, we thank you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. Amen. Won't you hug each other, huh? God bless you. Say thanks for praying for me. Eat now, for in a few days you shall fast. Right? God bless you guys.
The noise we make with our voice and with our head.